I had also another, you know, that I'm telling you all this, but for the lifting, for example, that was another incredible, especially when Aftogu was lifting a super heavy weight, and it was very fraction of second it was up, and that it's really hard to catch that on photo. And I remember pretty much at the end of Guru's life, when people were used to have those shutter speed, what do you call it, like
multiple exposures, or
it's the shutter speed on speed. Oh. And they used to, you know, blast Guru like ta-ta-ta-ta-ta like this. And for me, like I was just focusing on Guru and breathing with Guru and trying to feel the highest moment where Guru is going to be the highest of his lift. And you had to press just, really just, like, you know, I don't know how to say this, little fraction of a second before Guru is up to the lift, so the, you know, the camera could catch it. And believe it or not, all those people that was doing like ta-ta-ta-ta with the camera, they never got as high as what I was getting, because it's like you become one. You try to feel Goom. You know, you really like, it's like you stop breathing. I was feeling what Goom was doing, you know, and I was like, okay, Goom is concentrating, of course, like on my own level, of course. Again, as a photographer, I'm concentrating as Guru is concentrating. I'm feeling it, the moment when he's gonna absolutely lift, and that's the moment I press. And so I didn't have to have more than one press on my camera to get the highest. I didn't get it all the time. Depends, you know, sometimes you're not so focused, but most of the time when I was taking a picture of Guru, I was focused, and so.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Guru saying things to you about your photographs, or how you feel you were making progress, or you saw that you were transcending yourself maybe through photography. I mean,
okay, so there's so many, many, you know, I was for 22 years in New York and with Guru, and so there's many stories, of course, and let's say this few story of progress will be like, Guru used to encourage me a lot. He used to say, I'm such a good photographer, you know, he used to boost your ego like crazy. And at that time, I used to take a photo, outside photo also, and I used to enter a contest. So, and I got a few, you know, second place of contest, and, you know, a few money of contest. So it was encouraging to get
Were they still life? Were they pictures of people, portrait?
There was, I think, the one that I won and was on a photo magazine was an animal, like an owl, in a matter of fact, a baby owl. I took a picture of a baby owl and I got second place on this contest. Anyway, my ego was definitely boosted, and Gu also was not. He was really taking the opportunity to make something come out, and was telling how great photographer I am, and he was really pushing it. And that was a really interesting thing, because it's hard to explain outwardly, but you know, your mind and your ego can't say, well, you can do something. You know, I can actually earn money with my photograph. I could. You know, the ideas comes to your mind,
sure.
And when your ego goes high, so I could, like, I was thinking I could be a photojournalist or whatever, what kind of idea. And it was really hard, because there was like this battle of being, you know, of course, go 24 hours in the New York area and be a Goose photographer, but this other pool of the outside wanting to, you know, become a good photographer and maybe not recognized, but, you know, like a job, because I was working as a cleaning lady and a, you know, an umbrella restaurant, which I loved, by the way, but it was not really something in the other world, like, that will, when you're creative, that will bring...
There's no success in cleaning the bathrooms at an umbrella or... Well, or feeling of success in the way we understand it.
So that was my feeling. And I remember exactly the spot when this inner experience happened to me, but it's, can you really put it in word, because it was a stage of surrender. It was, I know exactly, if I go back to Queen now, I can tell you the exact spot where it happened, and it's a really, you know, it's between my house and the tennis court, And I remember exactly when suddenly I surrendered completely, and I felt so happy. There was this happiness that came because why am I torturing myself about these things? I just completely surrender this desire. And it was really like, when you look at a cartoon and you see those little, what do you call those?
Balloons.
Balloon, and then it just puff, that was like this. It was like that moment where everything was surrendered and no more desire, no more torturing your mind about wanting this or that. It was just gone. Gone.
Sorry, you're walking down the street and...
Yeah, walking. I wasn't even thinking about it. It was just walking on the street and this. It was a complete grace of surrender. About that, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was coming out of my house, probably going to an umbrella, and right there, right then, it was like a little part of grace on my head, which totally made me surrender the fact that I wanted to become a great photographer.
photographer in the outer world.
Yeah.
Now, I know we don't have the photographs here in front of us, but can you describe maybe a handful of pictures that you feel are kind of immortal or kind of very powerful or very special? And we don't have them here. So in your mind, is there a couple of photographs that you can describe?
Well, there's many, many immortal photographs, and there's many, many photographers. So I didn't take all the immortal photography. But from my own point of view, there's quite a few that people like, and also that, for example, the one that you like, which is go walking by the river in Washington, D.C. after a concert, outdoor concert in front of the Jefferson Memorial, where Gu was in white dhoti, and the whole background is kind of white, and it almost looked like the sea. And there's a goose carpet, which was a blue carpet that Gu had it in front when he used to play to put his feet on. And so the blue carpet was also showing on the picture, which added a little bit of, like a feeling of sea, and everything was white and blue. And Gu, at that time, was walking back and forth on that riverbank. He said he had to walk 7 times back and forth to come down from this higher plane he was on. And that's when I took that picture. So the picture is a little grainy, it's not a perfect picture, but the feeling you get from that picture is unbelievable. It's like this feeling of vastness, dream. I mean, everybody can feel something, but for me, it's like this, yeah, this peace and this vastness that I feel from that picture.
Is there such a thing as your favorite picture, or...?
There's a favorite picture of mine, which is what happened at after... I believe it was Ranjana's birthday, and Gu, everyone had gone, and everyone was packing the house. It was very late, and I was also, I'm not sure what I was doing, but I was quite, it's hard to leave when you're in this kind of atmosphere, because it's so beautiful, it's magic to be, especially Ranjana's birthday is always a magic coming down from Gu. And also, I'm always waiting to get the latest picture, so I always try to stay as the longest. And they were packing everything up, and Gu was very casual. It was one, he had this, I think he had his hand crossed in front of him, and he looked at me and was posing, really, for me. He asked me to take a picture, and he's posing with a smile, and it was a completely smile for me. And at that moment, my camera was at the end of the roll. And I'm like totally frustrated. So I'm like trying to change really. I don't know if you ever, now with the digital, we don't have that, but you have to, it takes a few seconds, and Gu, everything is on the moment. So if you miss your moment, but Gu was so compassionate at the time. He actually even gave me the brighter smile, and it was so much sweetness in his smile and affection, which is the meaning of my name, that that picture is really connected to for me. And people love that picture because Gu looks straight into the camera, which is very hard to get Gu looking straight in the camera, because usually you catch moment and Gu will look at somebody and you try to be on the line of the to get, So that's my favorite picture, yeah.
The one that you describe, an inspiration sun, that's the one you do. Is there any, actually that just sounds about like the perfect picture. The guru is actually offering you something and giving you this opportunity to connect with him in a way that it's just for you.
Yeah. Yes, that was like that, and he was very compassionate and very, so much affection, and it was very sweet, actually, this moment, and now everybody can enjoy it, you see.
And the fact is, they don't need the story, per se, but it's kind of nice to know that this is, you know, Guruji, just wait a minute, I'm just going to get another roll of film in here, and it's just click, click, click. You said your name means affection. Did you have that as a little kid, or did Guru give it to you later on?
No, later on. Guru gave me later on, because I only saw Guru when I was 7, when he came to Geneva. And then I saw him when I was 12, when he came to Zurich to do a peace tree. That's a bit, and then when I was 18, when I came. So I didn't see him Guru so much. And I got my name the year. Oh, don't put me in embarrassment.
No, it's okay. But you were living in New York at the time.
I was living in New York, yes, and I got my name at the court.
And what did he say your name meant?
The full meaning of my name is, with her heart affection, flooded devotedness and foundness, the genuine seeker is always ready to please the Lord Supreme in his own way.
Wow. Now, when Guru said that or gave it to you on a piece of paper, was it a surprise, or it was like, yeah, that's exactly what I feel like?
That's an interesting story. You're going to get a lot of story here. That was funny, because I never expected to have a name. That was, people were dying to have a name. I didn't understand. I was not, for me, it's nice to have a name, but I never really expected or dying to have a name. No, I was just, whenever the moment is, it would be my name. So I never thought about it. I never thought about my name. But one day I believe I was in Boston. I forgot. I was somewhere. And I remember I was with Pidgeush, and I had this crazy craving for anything green. It was very unusual. I mean, green color. Anything that was green, my eyes was like going to green. And it was just a bit bizarre. Like, I didn't understand, you know.
You wanted to have the color around you.
Yes, green. And even to the point that there was this thing on the ground that looks green, like an emerald, and I pick it up, and it was a piece of gum, and then we started laughing so hard. You know, it was just bizarre experience. I didn't understand. And then, anyway, that was my experience this day. And then the next day, I'm at the court, and there was the Prashad line, and then it has just finished. And I was having such a nice meditation, and really, I was... it was just amazing. And Guru was about to leave, you know, his gate. And I remember Ranjana came and gave me this plastic bag, a white plastic bag. And so I just took it, but I didn't, you know, I was having such a nice experience. I didn't really came out of my experience, so I wanted to see Guru out. So I said thank you, but I just went back into my state of feeling that moment. And so I had the plastic bag, and then later I look at the plastic bag, and inside there was a sari, and on the plastic bag it has my old name, which was Sylvia, and it looked like it was underlined, but it could be underlined or cross. I couldn't tell it right away, but as soon as I got the plastic bag in my hand, it went like this. That's my name, you know, on the plastic bag. But then my mind said, "Oh, come on! You don't want to get your name in a plastic bag, you know. this was how, like, the mind plays trick of you." So, but I felt then when I saw that name crossed, you know, I was thinking, "Oh, maybe I'm gonna get my name." But you know, I didn't want to get my expectation too high. But there are other people say, "Oh, you're gonna get your name," you know. So of course, instantly this incredible like expectation comes, and then you have a sari. So the next day, I put my sari on, and I was dying because I had so much expectation to get my name. You know, it was nothing outwardly was said, but it was really horrible feeling. You know, expectation, a horrible feeling. I was like waiting for Guru to call me. It was just torture like hell. And of course, I didn't get my name. But then the next day, I went to the court and I decided, okay, that's it. I'm just gonna go in my normal, you know, clothes. I had white clothes, and then that's when Guru said, "Why do you not put your sari?" So I had to go back home and put my sari, and that's when he gave me my name. And so the relation with the green was that my name, devotion and affection, is both connected to green. So it was like, inwardly I was knowing that I was getting my name. I never got an outer say that I was going to get my name, but this whole thing was happening before.
When he explained the qualities that what Adorini actually means.
No, actually Adorini means in Bengali, I think, or Hindi. I'm not sure. You can do your research. But it's actually a name you give to a small child, and you say, Adarini, you know, kind of cute. It's an affectionate name. It doesn't, Google gave the meaning, but the actual Adarini doesn't have a meaning. It's just an affectionate name when you tell, you see a child and you kind of think he's cute.
Is there any moment in those 22 years in New York, and that's, this is an impossible question, so there doesn't have to be an answer, where you said, this is the best, this is the highest or the best experience that I've had in my life? And that's, this is an unfair question, so there may not be an answer. So
yeah, there's no answer because everything is the best. Everything is the best, and of course there's some experience, but many of the best experience you can't tell.
Absolutely, I understand. Adarini, I want to take us to the period. How would you like to talk about your years after New York, after Gur's passing? And is there any way that you can talk about this period now, which is, you know, like almost 9 years, and where you are at now not compared to being in New York, but where you're at now in terms of your spirituality, or as a seeker, or as a photographer? And this is complicated, but if you can take a stab at any one little bit of that.
Okay, well, let's see. It started for me, like, when Gu passed, well, it's difficult to talk about it, but most people don't talk about it, but for me it wasn't, I don't know if this is something we can say, actually.
Don't say anything that you're from.
I mean, I feel comfortable to say, but I don't know if other people will feel comfortable to hear.
But go ahead.
Then, it was that night at Gu's house, like the night before. I was actually invited, and it was an unusual day for me to go to Gu's house, because I had some days to Gu's house, but that particular day was not my day, but Gu asked me to come. But he also asked everyone to go to the court to meditate for the peace committee, for Gu's peace Nobel Prize. But I, you know, since I've been specially invited, I said, well, I'm going to go to the house. There was very few people, and in the house there was some incident that happened that was quite intense. And and then later on, when I was driving one girl, we were talking about that, what happened, and then I told her, anyway, Gu, you know, is a realized master. He knows exactly when he's going to leave the body.